This is CliffCentral.com.
It's just after 7. You ready for the weekend?
I can't wait for the weekend to begin.
That sounds like the lyric to a song.
There should be a song like that.
For the weekend.
Yeah, you're so literal.
Never mind.
You know they found out who Titania McGrath is. She's that the queen of woke Twitter culture.
Titania McGrath.
Titania McGrath.
Who put up like these random poems?
We all thought that she was a real person the first time we saw her stuff, and then very quickly realized it was a parody account.
That's right.
So she used to tweet stuff like, let me read a few of her tweets and this will make you laugh. So first of all, I have always thought the UK government's negative attitude towards ISIS reeks of racism and Islamophobia. Why can't we all just get along? Then she said something like, remember Shamima Begum is the woman who was an ISIS bride and then she wanted to come back to the UK. So she says, so what if Shamima Begum joined ISIS when she was 15? My sister got caught stealing a croissant in her gap year in Marseille. Teenagers make mistakes! And she said, selflessly, I've written the definitive guide to social justice. Those who fail to buy a copy will be guilty of a hate crime.
Selflessly.
Any police force that recruits officers on the basis of aptitude and qualifications is basically the Gestapo.
Wow.
Karl Lagerfeld has died. What would be a respectful period of time to wait until we start trawling through his old tweets for any signs of racism or transphobia? 30 minutes, maybe? I despise whiteness, she said. Now, remember, this is supposedly a white woman. I despise whiteness. Literally nothing about me is white except my skin color. And then she said things like, universities exist to protect young people from microaggressions, not to introduce them to new ideas, in inverted commas. The concept of freedom of speech originated in ancient Greece around the end of the 5th century BC, and you're telling me it's not outdated?
So what's happened with her?
So it turns out she's actually a man.
Okay.
A guy called, he's a 40-year-old former private school teacher with a doctorate in early Renaissance poetry.
I wonder why he chose to be a woman.
His real name is Andrew Doyle. He's a doctor of Renaissance poetry. He created the account to mock today's woke culture, he said.
Very clever.
He described Titania as a militant vegan who thinks she is a better poet than William Shakespeare. Woke is the concept that everything must be inclusive, inoffensive, and that you always use the correct language, and you must always be hyper-aware of other people's sensitivities. He said the social justice movement, which we know in this country, we have a social justice movement, we've seen it in Europe, we've seen it in America, he says is full of people who are arrogant, narcissistic, and hugely certain of themselves. The very idea that they could be wrong doesn't even cross their mind. To me, that is incredibly funny. I thought Titania could embody all of that. And I've been following her for a while since we found out that she tweeted this ridiculous stuff.
So is it still continuing?
I hope so. I think, you know, it'll still be funny, even if we know it's an old white dude. So that's interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because we've all had our favorite fake accounts on Twitter, and we followed them. And in this country, Barry Roo.
Advocate Barry Roo.
Yeah.
Was outed not so long ago as being a Zambian dude. It doesn't make any difference to me. If they're entertaining or they're interesting, sure, follow them. If they're assholes, stop following them.
Yeah.
Life is so simple, really. You control what you put in and you control what you put out. Everything else, you don't have to get involved in. I see Jacques Maria tweeting this morning. He's usually quite interesting on Twitter while we're talking about Twitter. Look at what the ANC did with Eskom. Right?
Yeah.
You know what that answer is. Look at what the ANC did with PRASA, right? Look at what the ANC did with the PIC. Look at what they did with SAA. Look at what they did with every single national, provincial, and municipal procurement budget. Nothing sinister, right? He's responding to Cyril Ramaphosa saying, there's nothing sinister about nationalizing the Reserve Bank. Of course not. Everything that the ANC touches turns to...
Excrement.
Correct. Thank you, Ben.
I was trying to find the word.
Magnus Haystack, who's been a guest on CliffCentral.com a couple of times, says, Cyril the Frog Boiler Ramaphosa must be the best salesman ever. He was so convincing in Parliament yesterday about the SARB issue, that's the South African Reserve Bank issue, that I almost cheered until I realized what he's doing. Read carefully what he said. The SARB must target growth and jobs. This, says Magnus Haystack, is what Zimbabwe tried to do. We all know how well that went. Right?
Hmm.
So there are a couple of warnings for Cyril trying to... And we're not going to, because it's no Politics Friday, not going to go into this in any big way, but some tweets in the light of some of the stories that are in the news.
Yeah, we'll have to just say briefly, the president did have a very fabulous time in Parliament yesterday.
What
because
he
had the special guest Trevor Noah pop in.
Oh!
Trevor's in the country.
How exciting for him and for Trevor.
Oh, they loved it.
Did it make Parliament worth watching? Because I only found out now from you.
No, I didn't even watch myself. I just followed his Twitter account to see videos of the two of them.
Now, if he got the girls from The Bachelor in, now that would be
that
a
would
story.
Be... How much is on
so
the Parliament?
So has Trevor Noah taken a break out of using Donald Trump for material to come to South Africa and regale our president with how fantastic he and his Parliament are? Wonderful. Okay, what else is good?
I love the weather.
Queen Elizabeth.
Yes, there's another woke Twitter Nazi, yeah?
Has just posted her first ever Instagram.
Oh, Jesus. Is it very revealing?
It's an epic throwback.
Yes. So did she do it on Thursday? Because that's how it works.
She
on
didn't
Instagram.
Do it just sitting down at home on the sofa.
Was she spread-eagled?
Gareth.
Was she wearing that sexy lingerie? Philip got her last Christmas.
No.
It actually kind of did make me nauseous.
What did she do?
She did it live and in front of cameras.
Oh.
She looked dashing in her little orange outfit.
Oh, orange outfit.
So the post is signed by her as Elizabeth R.
Oh.
And it's a photograph
of...
So where it took place was at the London Science Museum. We're announcing their exhibition. And she saw there a letter written to Queen Victoria and Prince Albert from Charles Babbage.
Well, of course, that's exciting. Oh, everybody Babbage. Knows that, yes.
He was the world's first computer engineer.
Ooh.
So, to mark that, with a tap of the screen in the newly opened Smith Center in front of guests, the Queen touched the screen and made her first contribution to the At the Royal Family's official Instagram account to share the note.
Fantastic. I really thought
absolute
it was
attention-seeking bollocks.
The
Why
caption
does she need
read,
to be on Instagram?
The caption reads, no, well, the Royal Family, if you look at the account, it's actually really interesting, At the Royal
the whole,
Family.
Okay, sorry. Take it back.
And
the
it's
whole
not
royal
just,
family.
And it's Princess Beatrix and Beatrice or whatever.
Again.
It's a whole lot of them.
On a bender.
Yes, but what about me? I'm going to be king next.
Yes, Charles is on there too.
Yes, Charles, talk some more about me.
You need to have your own Instagram account, Charles.
We've got one, Clarence Heist, but no one really visits.
No.
Yeah, there are a whole lot.
No one really follows.
No, sorry.
Yes. We were trying very hard. You know, Camilla, she did a centerfold a while ago. Very lovely.
Of course.
It was magnificent.
Leanne, you can't say that to his Royal Highness.
I liked it very much. Very, very much. If you would like to follow us, we're at Clarence House.
Oh, thank you.
But if you like the rest of the Royal Family, you can follow that one.
At the Royal Family.
It's not as good. Not as revealing. Camilla will do anything for likes.
When I was liking At Clarence House this morning, Prince Charles,
yes,
I actually...
Yes, so you're a follower.
Yes, I
How
followed
marvelous.
Just this morning.
I shall send you your money next week.
And amongst all the others that came up as options or suggestions to follow.
Who else?
It was all the royal doodahs.
Yes, but there's so many, we can't even keep track. I mean, Andrew's got those two daughters.
And then it was the Beckhams.
Edward's got three, and Anna's got God knows how many. And then there's all the other cousins. There's a fortune of people that the taxpayer has to pay for. So hang on, what did you say, who else?
Up next were the Beckhams, listed
yes, well,
next to you.
They're not really royal, you know.
And then it was Trump.
He's not royal.
But yeah, Victoria and David, their individual accounts, and then Trump. So that's how it goes.
You're not following them already?
No.
Oh. Well, I like that you're following Clarence House. Do you want to see my ankle in the next shot?
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'd rather so read what saucy. Your mother posted on Instagram.
Her mummy.
Your mummy said... The caption reads, today as I visit the Science Museum, I was interested
to
discover...
No, do the voice. I love it when you do the voice.
Today as I visited the Science Museum, I was interested to discover a letter from the Royal Archives written in 1843.
Yes, 1843. Good
to my great-great-grandfather, Prince Albert.
Albert, you know what a Prince Albert is now.
Charles Babbage, credited as the world's first computer pioneer.
Charles Cabbage, yes.
Designed the difference engine, of which Prince Albert had the opportunity to see a prototype in July 1843.
My prototype, yes. And Camilla likes my prototype, yes.
She went on and then she signed it, Elizabeth R.
Well, that's what you're meant to sign. Why do you think that's funny? How do you sign? Lee and Mo. The R stands for Regina.
Does it really?
Yes, Regina.
What?
Yes, Regina.
Well, Regina.
And if I do it when I'm king, because I'm king next, you know that, don't you? Not anyone else.
Thank
you. I'm king next.
Thank you for the reminder, Your Royal Highness.
I sign Charles P. But soon I'll be signing Charles R. No, really.
Very good.
I change it one day. So I just add a little line under the P. It's going to be a tremendous effort. I'm going to have to relearn the whole signature.
The Queen doesn't even know what Instagram is.
No, she doesn't know. No. They set it up for her. Plus, she's wearing a glove. When she touched that screen, it was already programmed to do.
Oh, there was nothing she was telling.
So Charles is going to sign R for Rex eventually.
Okay. Is it T-Rex?
Yeah, well, Rex is king.
How do T-Rexes sound, Ben? That is hard.
All right, so the Queen's on Instagram. Hooray. Okay, I'm not going to follow that. What else?
That is my highlight of the week.
Okay, so a body language expert.
Ah, yes.
You had to do the gesture when you did that, huh?
Yeah, I
had Leanne actually did a gesture. She leaned back and she put her arms forward and went like...
Body language
like a rapper
expert.
Having a fit.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, has analyzed the rapper having a fit. Well, not the rapper so much, but R. Kelly's frightening interview with Gayle King.
Jesus, that was scary.
Jeez.
Poor Gayle King. I've never felt sorry for her before because I thought, she's Oprah's friend. She'll be fine.
Well, I didn't feel sorry for her. I felt quite proud of her, the way she sat there and
Well, she was in a room with a lunatic.
She was very calm. She said afterwards, I knew he wasn't going to attack me. I knew that he wouldn't harm me. But
Yeah, because she's too old. What would R. Kelly
it's
be doing?
Not in R. Kelly's target market.
So body language expert Patty Wood.
This is 30 years ago.
Has analyzed his seemingly violent reactions and actions during the interview. And she's compared him to the same, she's compared his movements to the same as that of an anguished little boy.
Yeah. Well, that's what he is, right?
His body language showed disrespect. He tried to make his voice sound frightening. He stood up. He also even punched his chest. He even put his fists to his chest like an ape would.
Oh, my God.
When he's signaling that he's about to start a fight.
Oh, poor Gayle. Again, I'm going to say it. She's lucky to have escaped with her life.
So it's an alpha signal beating your chest. Mm. It's a limbic response to feeling attacked and means he's getting ready to fight.
Wow, these guys, these body language experts do their homework, huh? Go back in time
he's
and check
so
out.
Twisted.
He's very messed up.
Yeah, so, sorry, Leanne.
Yeah. No, she analyzed Gayle King's movements as well. She said, you can actually see King draw back and blink multiple times. She's obviously affected and upset, but she keeps barreling on, which actually shows how out of control he is by sort of juxtaposition.
I still love you.
Two other R. Kelly updates, just quickly, by the way.
Right.
R. Kelly's back with authorities. He has to deal with a different charge now, the one of unpaid child support. His woes just always.
Wow, he's a shit to young women, but he's also shit to his own children. He doesn't pay for them.
He's 52 years old.
Slime ball.
And he said last month was the first time he went to a bank on his own. Oh. And that's where he discovered, shame, poor R. Kelly, that he only has $350,000 US dollars in his account.
Now I'm not trying to be rude, but hey, pretty girl, I'm feeling you. Still good song, this.
I like this song.
No, it's the same as Michael Jackson's music. We'll always love it.
Oh my gosh, Michael Jackson. 16 minutes. So baby, give me that toot, toot. Let me get that
beep, beep. Running her hands through my fro. Horror. Not gonna do it, baby.
Who's gonna stop playing this guy's music?
Here's the remix to
Dorsey's Pedophilia.
No, what? So you don't listen to Michael Jackson's music?
I don't care. You two can argue about this. I like this song.
Sober drunk.
So 60 Minutes, you know they do these really big things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so the 60 Minutes Michael Jackson thing at the moment.
No, but they're climbing on Oprah's bandwagon.
Well, of course they are. They're legitimizing Oprah's witch hunt.
Ben, did you also watch it?
Yeah.
Yo, wasn't it juicy?
Cheap is a thing, though, hey?
It is
Tell
juicy.
Tell us some more.
Go on YouTube, 60 Minutes, Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Wow, they take this woman, who firstly has no understanding about eyeliner whatsoever.
Oh, no.
So I'll tell you that much. How she stayed employed for this long was a...
Those thick cookies.
Mystery in itself. It's like she waited herself with a permanent marker, but she was basically the one who cleaned Michael's room, and she was a housekeeper... Mm-hmm. And she spilt some beans.
Mm. What did she say?
She spilt some beans.
Give us some of the
Adrian McManus.
Yeah.
Name looks funny.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she said a lot about Michael. I'm not going to spoil it for you because it's a bloody good documentary.
Oh, okay,
spoil it a little for us.
But like all the little kids, and she talks about the fact there was always Vaseline in Michael's bedroom.
That was my favorite line from the
And
interview.
There was sticky underwear.
He didn't want to be ashy. What's wrong with that?
Sticky boxer briefs. Sticky in the front.
Have you seen my childhood? It's better than sticky at the back. If I picked up a pair of underpants, I'd prefer that they were sticky in the front than sticky at the back.
If you're a parent of the child who's just slipped over, would you want Michael's drawers to be sticky in the front or the back?
No, I'm saying what the carer would have felt.
Wow,
so she found a lot of things, and she would try cover for Michael, and then Michael once gave her $300
some hush money.
Thanks.
I don't think that's a lot.
No, that's pathetic.
But they showed you Michael's room. I mean, there was like Never Never Land in there, like Peter Pan, all that kind of crap. And all the kids, they would then sleep in one big bed, which is obviously an old story. But yeah.
The only thing as well that I don't understand
Watch this documentary though. Go onto YouTube.
So Neverland is currently on sale right now. And it's been on sale for years.
Let me tell you something. You don't want to buy that place.
I don't even want to go there.
But wait, isn't it a business opportunity, folks?
Yeah, it's a golf estate waiting to happen. I'd buy it.
No, I'm looking at it as...
beautiful piece of land.
Look at how much the Elvis Presley estate gets from Graceland. Like, years later, people visit.
Yeah, but the thing is, Elvis didn't diddle kids, though.
Exactly.
But are you telling me all of these...
diddle sandwiches.
There are accounts galore who say Michael Jackson is innocent and Oprah is the devil, and are you telling me people wouldn't want to go and visit it if it was converted to a museum?
There's definitely some red tape, otherwise Joe Jackson would definitely have made this happen by now.
Rest in peace, Joe.
Joe's dead now.
Joe's never going to be dead.
Do you think he's still alive?
He'll always be around.
No. He's trying to sell Blue Label Records.
Blu-ray records. Always live, and so will Joe.
Okay.
Well, if anyone has a casual $31 million, you can go and buy.
That changes everything. I'm off. Cheers. Let's go and get it. Okay, so Crypto
it'd
Try
kind
Hard.
Of funny if you did buy it, make it a golf course, and all the caddies were 8-year-old boys.
Oh, dear.
You'd get a certain clientele there for sure, but it'd be pretty... I know that's inappropriate.
You could lock them all in jail. All right. Crypto Tryhard says, I really love your show. Poor Ben and Sia have the worst time slots, though, because you guys are on between 6:30 and 7:30. He says, during Ben's sport, I gather the children and get everyone ready to go. And during Sia's time, it's generally when I go to take a shit before I leave for work. Keep up the good work, though.
How good do you feel about that?
So,
you know, I thought, okay, gathering the kids. I'm like, sure, you're probably making breakfast.
Somebody's not sticky in the back, Elia.
Gathering the kids and then dropping off the kids.
That's very funny. So, Crypto Tryhard's day is governed by his schedule that kind of interfaces with ours. Just think about that next time you do Said by Sia.
Thanks.
Right now, Crypto Tryhard's taking a big dump.
Just putting a big press on while Sia's going, and that's just Said by Sia for today, folks. And there's Crypto Tryhard going,
chicka blinks.
Gotta have more fiber.
Michelle says, my Friday started off by being pulled over by a traffic cop at 5:14 for refusing to change lanes because he had blue lights and was flashing at me. Oh. A 15-minute waste of time, says Michelle. Bottom line, if someone is speeding on the road and it's clear on both sides and a driver flashes, be courteous and change lanes. Oh, Michelle, what a way to start your day. You're such a rebel.
Oh, I hate it when I can't change lanes, but the taxi behind me is flashing his lights.
Yes.
Oh, it's annoying.
I hate the blue light brigades way more. I hate them. I'll take a taxi any day than a blue light brigade.
I slip into their slipstream.
Yes. Do you want an email?
Oh, yes. Sure.
This one's for you,
emails
Leanne.
Are always very good. I like reading these emails.
Chris says, that's Chris with a K, like Chris Jenner. Might even be Chris Jenner. Hey, guys. Thoughts and prayers to all of you. Yes, this could be Chris Jenner. Just a progress report. Ass, I am down on 45 apneas to a night of under 5. The bags under my eyes have gone. I feel amazing. Mm. Maybe this is what it feels like to give up gluten. My dreams are unreal. Let's not talk about my morning wood. Oh, it's a Chris. It's a guy.
Huh? Yes.
Now I'm interested. Wood. Go on, go on.
Chris, I couldn't.
Chris says, my morning wood. Mm. Yes. Too much in brackets, although my wife.
No, not Chris.
Still goes to sleep with my daughter in the middle of the night. I think it will take a while for her to get used to sleeping next to Darth Vader.
All right, it just got a freak out.
No, his wife had to sleep with the daughter because he was having the apnea and she couldn't.
Oh, okay. I'm interested again. I'm interested.
And the bad breathing.
Yeah. Take your head out of your ass, yeah? Listen.
Just to let you guys know, you make my day. And what happened to Gord's conspiracies? I'm sure Gareth Cliff is the real Walter White. In my mind, he gets home, clips off the Lego hair, dons his yellow hazmat and gloves, and goes down to a bunker to play with his chemistry set. Gareth, just don't buy a Bentley on your credit card. That's all I'm saying. Lifestyle audits must fall. Peace and love, Chris.
Right.
All right. Any comments?
Yeah, I couldn't wear my machine last night.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Because it gave me, the mask sometimes gives me a blister.
Oh, no.
Like, on my face.
There's always a problem that comes from trying to solve a problem.
I know. Huh? But the blister's better today, so I'll use it tonight.
Okay, get some sleep, Leanne, for heaven's sake.
Get some lube around.
Mm-hmm.
Vaseline, I heard, works
Vaseline.
Really well.
Vaseline. I like to use the whole tub of Vaseline on my sleep apnea mask. Oh, no.
Then this one's from Frida. You want to hear from Frida?
Mm-hmm.
No.
In the mailbox today, Frida says...
In the mailbox?
Yes. Okay. Fuck SAA, she starts. Ooh. Those people deserve to be bankrupt. I booked tickets to Durban a few weeks ago, and after completing the booking, they notified me that I paid for SAA flights, but I'll be flying Mango. Currently, their online booking service is not available.
Ooh.
It's like they don't want our business. I found the same flights on Mango at R1,000 cheaper. Their booking service works. The SAA site, however, manages to adjust the ticket pricing every time you try. The algorithm works fine, but it bombs when you try to confirm. Before going directly to Mango, I tried to call their office to book. Strangely, they have an SAA office in every country. I've never heard of that before. I phoned the Singapore office, because I'm based here. So a lady answered, dedicated to SAA, and she was as thick as a brick. Makes me wonder, whose family member has a comfy job in Singapore, Auckland, Hong Kong, supposedly working for SAA? Also, why is there a person at check-in whose job it is to provide you with a newspaper? And two more people weighing luggage before you weigh in again at the counter. I've only ever seen this on SAA. Fuck 'em, Frida. That's fuck 'em, Frida.
With finger fucking Sally.
Yeah.
And fucking Frida.
Fucking Frida, very upset this morning. So there we go. It's amazing. We have such brilliant feedback. We really do.
Great emails from Chris.
I don't know if anyone's seen the video of the guy who hitches, he's in a wheelchair and he hitches a ride on the truck.
Yeah.
Is that really in South Africa?
Yes. It really is in South Africa. Then it was on a highway in Pretoria and it's made Fox News.
Then it's innovation. Mm-hmm. Let's give that to him.
So just for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's literally on a 3-4 lane highway. He is holding on to the back left of a truck.
Yes.
And he's going full speed down the highway with the truck. And then when he sees his off-ramp, he lets go and kind of veers to the left. takes his off-ramp.
That's very, very impressive. I think that guy deserves a medal.
What does Fox News say? How do they depict us?
Okay, their headline says, enterprising daredevil in wheelchair hitches ride off back of South African truck in viral video.
Amazing.
Okay,
isn't that amazing?
A person in a wheelchair left some motorists stunned after he was spotted hitching a ride from a truck moving along a busy South African motorway. And then it goes on to say...
So we made international news.
Yeah. Then goes on to say South Africa's Road Traffic Management Corporation, however, took a dim view of the stunt, slamming the daredevil, saying, in a country where we lose up to 14,000 people annually as a result of road crashes, this is totally unacceptable.
Oh, come on.
We condemn this dangerous behavior.
Well, maybe dangerous, but he got there quicker than anyone else in a wheelchair ever that got there.
Yeah, but I do think it's a little bit, it's bad timing, this whole thing, with all these horrible, horrible accidents we've had with kids involved and things. It's not good.
It's his decision.
Yeah. If you want to hitch a ride by holding onto the back of a truck, and you're brave enough to do it, God bless you.
And, you know, he's probably, no, I'm not. Okay, what? I'll say it. Okay. No, I feel so bad. But what's the worst that could happen? Like he's already lost his legs or whatever. The reason why he's in the
wheelchair doesn't mean you're dead.
He'll just get a little what's a scrape to the arm as compared to losing movement to your legs. I'm sorry, I'm quiet.
See. All right, so here's a great opportunity for South Africa since we were on TV on Fox News with our guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
We also made it onto an American comedy show where they got a clip of Seven Delan, and they called it 7DE Lan.
Oh, no.
But listen to what, this is very, very entertaining. They found a clip of one of the women who's a character on the show talking, and they made fun of what she sounded like she was saying.
MDE Lawn, this show delivers drama, intrigue, and thanks to the Afrikaans language, questionable pronouns.
This is a scene. Okay, this old woman on the phone.
Môre, matrone.
Hallo, kind.
Guys, it's okay. That is actually the Afrikaans word for child. I know that because I have a couple of cunts at home. And you know what? They'll be here next week for Bring Your Cunt to Work Day.
Hello, the woman who delivered that line.
Yeah, she's a thousand
Hello,
years old.
Cunt. Hello, cunt.
And she's still
because,
on the
because
series.
Cunts aside,
yeah.
Obviously. Cunt.
Here's Donald Trump. He just can't catch there's no break for this dude, but here he is.
We're going to be opening up the labor forces because we have to. We have so many companies coming in.
By the way, he's got Tim Cook from Apple sitting next to him. He calls him Tim Apple.
People like Tim, you're expanding all over and doing things that I really wanted you to do right from the beginning. I used to say, Tim, you got to start doing it over here, and you really have. I mean, you've really put a big investment in our country. We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple. But we're opening it up. We have to bring people in. We want them to be people.
He doesn't care. He just doesn't care.
No, guys, it was such an honest mistake.
Because you're trying to say his name and the company. Also, he's like 70.
Donald does not give a shit.
Oh.
I watched an interview where he was talking to some dude. I'm going to find this clip for you because it's hilarious. He was talking about the bigness of the Oval Office, which, by the way, it's not a word, bigness.
No, it's size.
So he was talking about how big...
The word is size.
The Oval Office is so big, there's so much of bigness. But then he brings this guy into the Oval Office, and the interview's going well. It's on CBS this morning, and the guy's talking to him, and, you know, Mr. Trump, how does it feel to be president, and what's it like, and what's the toughest part? And then he gets into something that Trump doesn't want to talk about, something he said about Obama, and the two of them start to kind of argue with each other, and Trump just shuts him down and goes and sits at the desk. It's so awkward. He sits at the Oval Office desk and pretends he's reading an important memo and just basically ignores the guy. And the guy's standing there. The cameras keep rolling. It's so awkward. It's horrible. Listen to this.
Figure that out yourself.
Well, the reason I asked is you said you called him sick and bad.
Look, you can figure it out yourself. He was very nice to me with words, and when I was with him. But after that, there has been no relationship.
But you stand by that claim about him?
I don't stand by anything. I just, you can take it the way you want. I think our side's been proven very strongly, and everybody's talking about it. And frankly, it should be discussed. I think that is a very big surveillance of our citizens. I think that's a very big topic, and it's a topic that should be number one, and we should find out what the hell is going on.
I just wanted to find out, though, you're the president of the United States. You said he was sick and bad because he had tapped you.
You can take any way you want.
But I'm asking you because you don't want it to be fake news. I want to hear it from President Trump.
Me. You don't have to ask me.
Why not?
Because I have my own opinions. You can have your own opinions.
But I want to know your opinions. You're the President of the United States.
It's enough. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And sits down. Just ignores him. Sits down at the Oval Office desk. And he picks up a paper like that was what he was going to do anyway.
And literally the desk is clear and empty, bar these few pieces of paper. There's no pen that he's about to use.
He just sits down and then he doesn't look up. And this interviewer is standing there and the camera keeps rolling and Trump just pretends they're not even in the room. Okay, we're done. Thank you.
Now, the interview is one thing. There is a whole crew.
It's just unreal.
There's probably at least two cameramen, a sound guy.
You guys get out now.
I feel like the reporter was a bit pushy, though.
Yeah, and probably.
Also, he's in his workspace, and it's a bit personal and weird.
It's just, he could have walked. You know, the president, the Oval Office, isn't really where he does most of the stuff. He's got a little room to the side of the Oval Office called the President's Private Study.
Is that where Clinton and Monica used to get it in?
Yeah. And it's a small room.
Get it in?
This President's Study is probably half the size of our studio. It's a little room. And he's got his computer there. And he's got a window behind him so he can look into the garden. And that's where he does the actual work when he wants to get shit done on his own.
Mm.
So he could have walked in there. Said, I've got work to do. I'm sorry. But he did this weird thing and sits down at the table. And it's all just awkward as hell. And after watching that, I was like, oh, fuck. What do you do? You know? All right. So South Africa, obviously, is full of exciting stories. But we've got to pay attention to Barbie.
Ooh.
Because Barbie is an international woman. She's not just South African. She's not just American. She's a woman of the international realm. And she's 60 years old now. So let's imagine what Barbie would look like.
The actual age.
Yeah, if she was her real age, 60 years old. Imagine Barbie, because the photos are stunning. That's a BuzzFeed headline if ever.
There we go. So
Barbie is reimagined and the photos are stunning.
Well, she'd be 60 and still have no albums.
We were shook by Barbie's hot photos at 60. Age is in your mind.
So the dating site for over 50s called Lumen has brought Barbie to life in it actually really is a beautiful photo shoot designed to show her real age.
Yes.
So the way they've made the little box, et cetera, they've put her in there, a real life model, and they've called it for ages 50 and plus. And she's also, put in various scenes around the house, coming out with a birthday cake with her little bent arms.
Well, she doesn't have elbows, though.
And Ken makes an appearance, too. She has elbows, but not the joint movement. She does, actually. Mine had a bit of movement.
Yours was lucky. It didn't have to catch a back of a truck to get to where it was going in its wheelchair.
Wow.
And they've brought Ken in, too. He's also Ken. 60.
Yeah.
But they look pretty good. Ken's still got his weird pineapple Hawaiian type shirt going on. Uh-huh. And they're having their 60th birthday, Barbie's 60th birthday in the lounge.
Does it look a bit sad or does it look all right? Would you want to be there?
I wouldn't want to be there, but I think it's a
clever move.
I think
by
Lumen. Very clever.
Because you see, I didn't know that there was a dating app for people over 50.
What do you think people over 50 do?
I thought they'd go to bars or go to house parties and maybe a dinner and maybe the Ront Club every now and then, you know?
What do you think they do, Ben?
Just sit indoors.
And they just don't date.
No.
Listen, we're not far off from 50.
Oh, my Lord.
See us halfway there.
The Anne gives a knowing nod, like, mm-hmm.
And secondly... there's dating.
Have you been on Lumen?
Do
you want to tell us something?
No.
Do you want
have
to tell
not
us
been
about
on
Lumen?
It's the first time I've heard of Lumen.
Have you been swiping right and
I
left
did
on
not
Lumen?
Go on Lumen.
Yeah, all right.
That dating app.
Well, there's lots of these. There's one for black people to only meet black
people. There's one for Christians.
There's one for Jews.
Oh, J-Swipe. I've heard a lot about that.
I heard J-Dates. It's not great. Like, all the hot Jewish girls don't go on that.
Oh.
A Jewish friend told me over the weekend. So it's like you end up just swiping your cousin.
Oh,
And you could do that in Delmas. You don't need to go on an app.
So sit indoors is what they should do, Ben.
Yep.
R. Kelly's 52. Look at him.
And he currently has two girlfriends.
He should have been locked indoors.
Do you know? Jesus. So one of the gross things I also found out is one of R. Kelly's previous lawyers. He was, you know, remember he had that child pornography case? It was either 2007 or 2008.
Yes.
One of his lawyers who defended R. Kelly is now speaking out saying, you know what, screw it. I actually thought throughout the entire process that R. Kelly actually was guilty, because he even at a point had to consult his doctors and get anti-libido injections.
Jeez.
Wow, you got a major problem when you're so horny. You need to go to a doctor and get injections. They used to treat people in the military.
Yes, you'd have to have a pill.
They gave them copper sulfate, which would do that. But that, I always thought that was an urban legend. You mean they actually had to inject this guy?
According to the lawyer who defended him back then.
It's a problem.
Saying that that's how horny it was.
Well, while we're talking about horny and dirty and dreadful people, and we did get Michael Jackson in the discussion earlier on the 60 Minutes thing, but Michael Jackson has actually responded. You want to hear what he had to say?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, listen.
I'd like to address this horrible HBO documentary about me. It's filled with lies and ignorance. I would never hurt children. I love sleeping with little boys, that's all. Just a grown man sleeping with a little boy. Of course I fuck them kids. Come on. It's so obvious. I was a good pedophile too, huh? I built a whole amusement park and a candy store, and I say, "Your kids like candy?" And they'd be like, "Yeah, yeah, we like it." I'm like, "Yeah, you like it? Yeah, okay, yeah." Well, tell your mom to get the fuck out of here. Then they did. I was like, "Oh shit!" Didn't y'all notice I only slept with little cute boys, not little girls, not little ugly boys, just cute little motherfucking tight ass boys. Well, better get back to heaven. I got in because I apologized right before I died. Damn the rules. Bye.
That's beautiful. That's Kyle Dunnigan, the comedian.
Jeez, like, that was hard hitting.
He put that on Instagram. That's hilarious. Barry, wow. Thank you, Barry, for sending that to
us
this morning.
What's his name? Kyle Dunnigan.
Yeah, he's great. He does a lot of the Kardashians as well. He's hilarious.
You have to find him now.
You've got to hear his Kim Kardashian. It is fan.
But I mean, he's actually made himself up to look like Michael.
No, it's an app. It's like it puts a face on you.
Oh,
you know?
I see.
He's hilarious. Okay, so other news. What else do you want to talk about? What else is going on?
Oh, you want to hear about some groundbreaking women in the drinks industry?
No, I'm really sorry I asked you that. Oh, let's go back to Kyle Dunnigan doing. Yeah, I'm sorry I even asked. Here's him doing Kim Kardashian lost in her own house. All right. Are you ready for this, Leanne? This is going to make your day. All right, here's him doing Kim. All right, here we go. Just got to get the damn thing
lost
working.
Lost in my house.
Okay.
What?
I've been emergency.
What is it, Cam?
Lost in my house.
Oh, shit. Look at your surroundings. What are you...
Okay, by the way, so this is Kim, and he's playing both characters. It's Kim
she's
talking to Caitlin. Yeah, to Caitlin.
No,
so, yes, it's Caitlin. Yeah. Okay. So it's Kim and Caitlin. Okay, so go again. Do
Dad,
it again.
I have an emergency.
What is it, Cam?
I'm lost in my house.
Oh, shit. Look at your surroundings. What do you see?
There's this white box.
What is that white box?
I don't know. I put north inside so we see.
Oh, you're such a great mom.
It's a washing machine.
Ding, yeah.
All right, let me get Kanye on the phone. He's a genius.
Yeah, call Kanye.
Hello.
Hey, Kanye, Kim's lost again. Do you know what that white box is behind her?
It looks like R2-D2. Oh, no, my girl's lost in space. Bam.
But I didn't get into a rocket.
Quiet, bitch. There's a genius at work.
Yeah, Kim, shut the fuck up. Don't interrupt a genius.
Girl. Now program R2-D2. He'll save you from outer space. Bam.
Help me, R2-D2. You're my homie.
That's a fat beat, Kanye. Yeah,
What?
That's very bizarre, but very good.
Mess.
I like the way she goes, when Caitlin says that's a white box, and I think North's been put inside it because it will keep him safe, and it's a washing machine, and then she goes, thank you.
Thank you. I've forgotten what that thing is called.
It's called vocal fry.
Vocal fry. It's when beautiful. Thank you.
All right. So let's hear about these women who changed the drinks industry. I mean, these are your heroes.
These are my heroes.
These women's. Is.
Leanne has a little shrine at home, and she lights a candle every night. She's got little pictures of all these women, and she often will salute them. I mean, most of us don't know who they are, but she knows.
We'll salute them by downing copious amounts of alcohol.
Sure. So this is from the Rachel Ray mag. If you heard of Rachel Ray, she does a talk show in the US.
Yeah, she's an Oprah prodigy.
Yes. And it's usually, she usually does like makeovers and that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the first, and so I would have thought that they would have mentioned maybe a winemaker from California first, for instance, being an American show. Mm-hmm. But no, the first person they mention is from South Africa, which was really cool.
Okay, who we got?
So in wine itself,
who we got?
They mentioned Tsiki Biela. Now, Biela is, well, was the country's first black female winemaker.
Oh.
She now has her own label as Lena Wines. But I like the way they say, in just over a decade, Biela went from never having tasted wine to being named South Africa's Women Winemaker of the Year in 2009.
These guys don't know how affirmative action works. That's yeah, the problem.
Things happen fast. They do mention a Californian winemaker second, Helen Turley.
I've never heard of her either.
And Helen another woman, Pauline.
You know Helen Turley,
Pauline,
right?
Pauline Loat.
You've met Helen Turley and you've met...
Pauline Loat works as a winemaker at Chandon. We know Chandon, as in Moët.
Moët Chandon.
Moët Chandon.
I still don't know how to pronounce it.
Méthode de Champenoise.
Who?
Go on.
Spirits onto the hardtack.
Ah, these are your real heroes. These are the ones who get the big pictures on the shrine.
There's a woman named Audrey Saunders. She was...
Your favorite.
I love Audrey Saunders.
I love Audrey Saunders. She was one of America's best bartenders.
Yeah, of course.
Even before she opened the groundbreaking New York City bar, Pigou Club.
Hello! I'm Audrey Saunders. How are you?
Audrey, it's very nice to honor you in
this. I love you, Leanne Roar.
Mm. So you're known.
Even before my stroke.
For your soak.
Before her stroke.
Yes.
Oh.
Speak stroke.
Saunders is known for reviving and retooling classic cocktails. Yeah, so another woman in Mexico. What I quite like is the beer stuff as well, because you were talking recently about how the history of beer is basically women.
It's women, yeah.
Women's is...
Leanne, you haven't not liked any part of this story
so far. I like
it
all.
Yeah, you're super excited. Go on.
I like the wine part, the spirits part, and the beer part.
I can tell.
Mm.
Can we get those injections that R. Kelly got for Leanne, please, while she's talking about drinks?
Carol Stout.
Yes, yes, of course. But you could forget Carol Stout. And Pour Me Out. That's her song.
She opened song, right? Stout Brewery in Pennsylvania in 1987. She became the first female brewmaster in America since Prohibition.
Well, yes.
And in 2018, she was awarded the President's Award at the Brewers of PA Association's meeting of the Malts Summit.
Can you imagine that meeting?
I would like to be at the meeting of the Malts.
They must have been falling all over the fucking place during that meeting. Hello. What's her name? Karen Stout?
Carol.
Carol
She's
Stout.
A little Carol, short and stout.
But the surname's spelled differently to Stout the beer. It's like Stout, if you were to use a proper accent.
Oh.
Stoudt.
Oh, right. Well, yes. She's still Carol. She'll always be our Carol Stout. Yeah.
Very nice.
Leanne has a lock of her hair in a special amulet that she wears. Carol Stout. All right, very good. So there's the woman who changed the drinks industry.
Yes.
Now let's turn our attention to a man who's changed the world of cars. And
from drinking to driving.
That's right, because they go together.
So responsible.
Yes. So here he is, a man who's changed the world of cars. The CEO of Auto Trader, that's his day job, but he manages to pop in here every week to tell us all the stories around the lifestyle of motoring that we need to know. Here's George Meaney! Yes, thank you, CF. What do you call those people who...
Rent a crowd.
Yes, no. Hype man, that's it. You're our hype man. All right, that was not how George sounded last time he was here.
Or
hey, George.
In CF's case, a woo guy.
A woo guy.
A woo guy.
Yeah. How are you, George?
Hey, good, and you, Gareth?
Good, very good.
A woo guy. I like that introduction. Yeah, that kind of. I should have recorded that.
Yes.
Yes.
You can have it.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, we did record it. It's called podcast.
Ah, okay. What we do here. That's why we're here.
Oh. Okay, so what's up, George?
Well, South African Car of the Year. Auto Trader South African Car of the Year.
Hang on, let me do a proper announcement here. We need the kazoo and everything. Are you ready? Here it is. George is going to announce the South African Car of the Year.
Well, the testing days.
Woohoo! Yes, no, because you already announced the car of the year, like when it happened.
Well, no, the car of the year is only happening next month.
But
well,
the last year's one.
Yes, last year's one we announced already. But we've now settled on the testing day. So there will be 12 incredible cars from Japan, Italy, Korea, France, Sweden, Germany, put through their paces on the 11th and 12th of March at the Kyalami Grand Prix Circuit as part of the testing days to put these cars through their paces and judge them.
Are you going to be judging?
I won't be judging, but I will be there.
Huh.
Because I think I might be biased, and I don't want to be biased.
Okay, so before you carry on, I'd just like to read this to you because there's an email we got from Chris who lives in Norway. He's actually in the Norwegian Arctic. He said, I was stuck in the snowstorm for 5 hours waiting for a ferry and catching up on your podcasts, and you had me in stitches. I heard Leanne's story about the driver's license renewal and her eye test, and it was like something out of a Larry David sketch. To make her feel better, I thought I would let her know that even when we South Africans move to Norway, we have to redo the entire drivers from scratch.
Ooh.
It ends up costing the average Norwegian 45,000 rand.
What?
Yes. The training includes 20 hours of mandatory driving training, night driving, a first aid course, and skid pan training. This is what you do just to get a driver's license in Norway.
Well, I guess the skid pan training makes sense because
you're on ice half,
you're
the,
on
time.
Ice half the time.
Apparently, the first aid helps you because you're required by law to stop and give assistance at any accident scene. How do you like that?
Oh, wow.
The irony is, the eye test took 5 seconds. They let you stand on the opposite side of the room, and if you can read a number plate on the wall, you're good to go. Ironically, that's not as important as all the other training they have to do.
So, to full George, and I nearly didn't get my license renewed because I failed the test 4 times, the eye test. Not because I couldn't see, but
George
because...
George is over here.
What?
You're looking at...
Oh, sorry. Game. Hi, George. There you are. So it's not because I couldn't see.
It took me a second.
It was just the... I can't believe I was facing in the completely opposite direction.
She drove here today via Ruderport.
I got here in good time.
Yeah, because usually it's via Edenvale.
You've got to do the what's this thing called? The joystick.
The left right joystick story.
With the E facing different
it's
directions.
Called a gear it's called a steering wheel. What are you talking about?
Siri's asking what she can help with. Have you, by the way, asked Siri to beatbox?
No, go.
Siri.
We digress.
Please
so
beatbox.
Much.
Just when you hate your story that much, you just change the subject.
Siri, please beatbox.
She's very easily distracted.
She's trying to, she's thinking.
Leanne, I think, is trying to.
She's having a challenge.
She's not okay.
You know what? Leanne often talks to her Siri because she's alone at home with a bottle of vodka, but this is kind of embarrassing, so we'll just give her a second.
Siri, please beatbox.
It's important please, that we let Siri. Her. It's important as part of her therapy please. That we let her complete this.
Why are you leaving me
please,
alone?
Siri. Ask your Siri.
Hey, Siri. Beatbox.
Here's one I've been practicing. Boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots. I could do this all day. Cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats.
Am I the only one who thought that was funny?
You're the only one who's ever.
I have no idea how that and eye tests.
So yeah, go back to your eye test if you can remember the story.
So the E's face a certain way, up, down, left, right, and you've got to move the joystick. I couldn't get it right. The hand-eye coordination thing wouldn't work. So it wasn't because I couldn't see. George, why are you looking at me like that?
Because I'm trying to figure out if your arms are connected.
I told you, George is there. You're looking at Ben.
You guys are freaking me out here.
The point is that it's obviously much harder to get a driver's license in Norway, but it's easier to do the eye test. That's the easy part.
Okay.
So I wonder if we ever could look at a comparison of which countries it's hardest to get a license in and which countries it's easy. I'm off to Europe tomorrow, and one of my friends has got a driver's license, a European driver's license, and we're driving up into the Alps, so obviously there's some challenges around that too.
The reindeer and all sorts of things.
No, ice mostly, but yes, okay, if you want there to be reindeer.
Leon's not having a good day today!
Ice and snow, I was thinking, but okay. Reindeer and bears. Why not? All right. So, It's quite steep. They have to put salt on the roads.
Chains on the wheels.
Right. So it's all very exciting. I suppose there would be countries where it's much harder than others.
I'm pretty sure.
Like in Mexico, you really just jump in a car at age 10 and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. It's like the eastern countries like Vietnam and Thailand. You just jump on a scooter.
Yeah, but somebody else is already driving the scooter.
I once went past an orangutan on a scooter in Vietnam, and he was driving better than me.
And that sometimes they take your luggage as well. They take
what the orangutan.
Oh, here we go.
I think I'm going to go home. What's the time?
Jesus, Leanne's having a bad day.
This has gone pear-shaped properly.
I actually think you're all just making this up.
Yeah, that's what someone who has a problem would say.
All right, so back to George, whose show it is. Go on, George. It's all over you. Right.
I like this part better.
Yeah, I know. Let's try to keep it together.
Orangutans. Well, orangutans don't drive Teslas. Tesla is going to curtail its dealerships. So it's gonna go on a worldwide drive to sell the cars online only, which means that the cars will be available internationally very quickly.
I've been into one of those showrooms. There was one in Austin, Texas I went into. It's very impressive. But very impressive. Really, some people don't want to buy a car without actually touching it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a good idea. They've got to have one or two showrooms somewhere, right? So fly out a sample or whatever.
They're going to have fly out a sample.
Put one on a... If someone's... They've got to have somewhere to show you the car.
So they are. And it's going to be in high traffic areas. And it's really just going to be a place for you to touch and feel the car. You
can't shopping mall?
Like a shopping mall, potentially. Well, let's see if this works. Elon Musk says this is the only way to keep the price of the car down. And he's already brought the price of the Model 3 down to $35,000, which is at about 6% down.
Yeah, that was just by tweeting about the stock price.
Exactly. But far more interesting, and Volvo, you know, is always ranting on about their safety.
Oh, they think they're so safe, these Volvo people. They're so superior. They actually cause accidents just to show you they're going to not be hurt and you will.
And so now what they're going to do is limit the speeds of their cars from the year 2020 to 180 kilometers an hour.
So, that's so slow.
Yeah, I know. It's crawling.
Do you think this is a good idea?
Yes. So, I mean, unless there's self-driving cars and we can have something like an Autobahn, 180 kilometers an hour is really fast.
No, it's plenty.
It's very fast.
180. I was arrested for 182. So if they could just a little bit more, then I'm okay. 182 is good. So in Australia, the speed limit on the freeway that goes all the way up the east coast is 110. And nobody goes faster than 110. Because it's Australia and rules is rules.
Oh, yeah.
So 110 takes you a long time, and 110 feels very slow on a beautiful freeway.
Yeah.
It does.
Especially when you've been doing it for an hour.
No one breaks the rules, though, and very few accidents.
Wasn't Australia a prison island?
Yes. Long time ago, George. You don't have to keep bringing that up. That's like when I keep bringing up slavery.
Leave the prisoners alone.
Yes. It's time you move on, George.
Anyway, let's move on to new safety technology, and is this becoming Big Brother or not? Because there are devices being worked on in cars, besides autonomous driving, is autonomous emergency braking, lane keeping systems, and here's a cool one, alcohol interlock device.
Uh-oh.
So your car doesn't go?
Your car will not start unless you pass a breathalyzer test.
Mm. Yeah, there are countries that have had this for a while, but now they're going to manufacture cars with these built in?
Into them. So I think it's a good idea. You know, if you're sitting behind the steering wheel, car won't start unless you pass the breathalyzer test. Not a bad idea.
Probably not a bad idea, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you really need to get to the liquor store.
Yeah, there's so many scenarios here. It's ridiculous.
It's going to start.
So you got to wonder that once cars start collecting so much information about you, like for instance, intelligent speed assistance and recording when you brake hard or how fast you accelerate, how long is it going to be before this data starts getting sold?
Well, also, how long before people start giving you higher insurance premiums as a result?
Well, I've got that Discovery thing that tells me how I'm driving.
Yeah,
Breaking phone usage acceleration, I don't get because I don't have a fancy car.
But you do
I
go.
Never get nabbed for accelerating too fast.
You sometimes do go via Rudaport to get here, so it records that as well. Yeah, yes, so these things are reporting you. Effectively, all this information is not necessarily going to be used to your advantage. Some of it will be used to your disadvantage.
It could. Insurance premiums, one of them.
Imagine the traffic cops getting hold of this information.
Yes, right. Uh-oh. And the authorities and the new eNotice system, which is coming into play soon, they're going to take demerit points off of you. Before you know it, you can't have your license renewed because you haven't got enough points. And then what? Then you're stuck using public transport, which in this country is a death sentence. All right.
Hmm.
It's just about. I mean, the taxis are, you know, that's a death
sentence. Buses are not great either.
I haven't used a bus ever in my life. So.
Well,
I used a Translux bus once.
A Translux
when
bus?
When I was in Matric to get to Durban. And he had the TV on and it was Leon Schuster stuff.
Oh, God.
And he was watching it, tears rolling down his eyes while he was driving us on the highway.
My goodness.
We stopped at one point and he started reversing. And we were like, what's going on? Why are you reversing?
Is he rewinding?
He lost his his side mirror. And so we reversed for about 3 kilometers. So he obviously didn't know for about 3 Ks that he'd lost it.
Does he know about 3-point turns?
Yeah, but on a highway.
But I'll just go back a little bit. But he'd lost it ages ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus. So if you take your life in your hands and you're prepared to go on a bus, you're...
I mean, we haven't heard of bus accidents for a long time. There was a period in time where...
Yeah. If Pat Code, do you remember?
Thank goodness.
Hundreds of people were getting injured and losing their lives.
Yeah, not good. Anyway, all right, George, anything else you want to throw in?
Nah.
You sure?
Yeah.
I have such a headache.
Send Leanne for an eye test.
If she can even find the place where you do the eye test. Why do you have a headache, Sia?
From laughing.
This morning is
he's
not
crying.
Okay.
All right, everybody. That's about it. We're not gonna keep you any longer. You've got things to do. We've got things to do. Let's get this party started.
Gareth, have an amazing trip.
Yes, I will see you in a week and... Monday. Not this coming Monday, but the Monday after that.
Ben, it's looking forward to being
Ben's
informed and having you here.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here. Next Thursday I'll be here. Apparently.
As well.
Ooh, I'll be hosting the Burning Platform and other important things.
That's right, because we trust you with important things.
Absolutely.
All right, Donald Trump doesn't know what all the fuss is over calling Tim Cook Tim Apple.
I'm all about boosting American companies, says Trump. This is nothing to be ashamed of. I look forward to another full day of meetings with the likes of Bill Microsoft, Jeff Amazon, and Larry Google.
Eskom is to raise their tariffs by 9.4%. Yes. They feel this is fair for the time being as they look to create some extra revenue somehow. When asked if this increase will prevent future load shedding, they laughed and said of course not, but the increase does ensure more salary increases. That's all that matters. And finally, Cape Town have won the right to host the Netball World Cup in 2023. Ben was very excited about this earlier. It's a huge achievement for the city. Who will now invest heavily in the sport in the lead-up. Helen Ziller is particularly excited about this, and today she arrived at work in her high school netball outfit. Better stay off Twitter today if you want to avoid those visuals.
Look at my skirt, still fits.
All right. Be good. We will see you. I'll be back in a week's time, the rest of the team here next week. Thank you, George.
You're welcome.
All right.
This is CliffCentral.com.